Welcome to Under His Wings,
a podcast that helps us better understand and utilize the atonement of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
We invite you to sit with us as we discuss what it means to be safely under His wings.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're back. And we know that someone needs to hear this podcast because it's been a half an hour of nothing but technical difficulties. And once we asked the Lord for help, that's when it happened. And we know that we know that somebody needs this. So we hope it finds you, and we hope that you'll feel the Lord's love today in your life. We want to talk about the talk. It was this last April 2025 conference called Spiritually Whole in Him by Camille N. Johnson. And so we just want to talk about that one and why we love it so much, because this one really resonated with me. I don't know about you guys. I just felt it to my toes.
Right. And I remember when I very first heard it, it was one of those things that you said you felt it in your toes. It just tingles all the way through your body and it resonates with your soul. And that's why I really am grateful that we can talk about it today. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. And do you recall what it was about this talk that you resonated with specifically, or was it just all in general, all encompassing?
There's just so many layers to it. I think I love it. I love the whole thought of being spiritually whole in Him. And Jesus was heading to Jerusalem with his apostles and or his disciples at the time. And it says they went into a certain village. And I always love that because, I don't know, I think watching The Chosen really makes me look at things in the scriptures so with such a more focused lens. Like, because in The Chosen, it shows that He goes places specifically for certain people. You know, and I think as we look at the scriptures and really look at that, I love how it says He went into a certain village, like He meant to go there because He knew there was someone there that needed Him. And it said that 10 lepers came rushing up to Him and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they had heard of Him and they knew that He had this power to make them whole, right? And so it says when He saw them, so immediately He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it says that it came to pass that they went, that they knew He could do it. So they turned around and they went. And it said that as they went, they were cleansed. So they didn't even have to make it to the priest. They didn't have to do that. All they had to do was believe. They turned around. And there's that thought about repentance, right? Repentance just means to turn. So they turned and they went. And then it said one turned back. One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down in his face at his feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. It also talks about that. Like he wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan.
Yes. And I think the important point that she was trying to make, that only one of them returned and expressed gratitude. And that is when he received something in addition to being physically healed. At that point, the Savior pronounced that his faith had made him whole. So all 10 were physically healed, but it was this one, because he returned to the Savior, because he had gratitude and because he had faith, he was made completely whole, spiritually and physically. And that's what I really appreciated about this particular talk, was I've always looked at this story in the scripture as being about gratitude. Make sure that you return to the Savior and express gratitude to Him and to our Father for all that we've been given and blessed with. But it's even more than that. It's that I feel like if we will continue to return again and again to the feet of our Savior, expressing that faith and gratitude, we too will receive more, whatever that is that the Lord sees that we need. And so I loved that insight.
Right.
That she shared.
Yeah.
I always had in this specific talk focused on the healing aspect physically and emotionally and mentally, and how we know that that's what we seek all the time because that's just our mortal sense of all about us, you know? And I appreciated the sense of she said, I can be whole while I wait for healing.
Right,
If
right.
I'm wholehearted in my relationship with him. So
Yeah.
aside of that story of lepers where 10 were healed and one returned, what if they none were healed completely, but one still turned to the Lord and then was
Right.
physically and spiritually healed? So in that meantime, you know, how can we keep the mindset, I can be whole while I wait for healing?
Right.
It reminds me of that little story of, you know, you see that girl in the mirror, I am brave, I am strong, I am smart, you know, and I feel like what if we said, I can be whole or I am whole, and we recognize right now as we talk today, what does wholeness mean? How can we be whole in
Right.
Christ?
Yeah.
And I think that's really what resonates mostly with me. And was I studied this and studied this. I felt so strongly that there are ways. You know, we've gone to church for years and we've been in primary and we understand all these things about how to come to Christ. But I also think when we are in our most challenged times, we find that yearning for healing. And if we can just keep in the forefront, healing spiritually will help me through this healing I need physically. And again, if it doesn't come, it's still what we feel needs to happen.
Right. Because I think about, I saw this post from this woman. She said she found out that she had cancer and she determined, I can have happy cancer or I can have ugly cancer. And so I decided I'm going to have happy cancer. And there's something in that, right? Because it's that, okay, I'm going to make a choice to turn to God and ask for help and be grateful for the things that I do have so that I can be happy. And that in turn makes us spiritually whole. Because, it reminded me of all the times in my past that I have had things, and we all do, right? We all have stuff that just keeps going on that we'd love to be healed from.
Right.
I had hives for 16 years, like every single day. If I didn't take this little pill that I hated taking because at first, it made me super duper tired. So I wasn't a very good mom to my kids. I was like asleep on the couch. I knew God didn't want that. So I kept thinking he's going to heal me because this is my righteous desire. I want to be a good mom. I want to be able to serve, but I can't. I'm like dead on this asleep on the couch for hours because this medicine makes me tired. And so I did all that I could. I went to the doctor. I went to see naturopaths. I like all the things that I felt like were going to heal me. And in the meantime, God was teaching me, like, your kids will be okay. I did my best when I could to be awake and alert and to love them and be a good mom. And I still had to make meals and do all the stuff. And I still went to church. And every Sunday, I went to the sacrament table and asked for healing. And so in that 16 years, I wasn't healed, but I was led to learn things about natural healing, that's when I learned about essential oils. And then I had my little daughter have to go through surgery, and she couldn't take any pain medicine. It made her throw up, and she hated it, and it made her sick. And so all she wanted was for me to rub these oils on her. And that was a spiritual time for us, like for me to feel like this little child is in pain, but I had something the Lord had shown me to help her. And
Right.
I just thought about that, about like all that I learned in all those years, and that eventually led me to learn what would heal me of those hives.
I love how you mentioned, Jerry, that while you were waiting to be made whole physically, you learned along the way. You progressed, you grew in knowledge and experience. And that is why we don't receive instant healing, even for our righteous desires, is because I believe the Lord never makes us suffer a minute longer than what He can use for our good, what is good for us, right? So He allows us to grow through challenges, through pain, through some of these physical, mental, emotional illnesses that we face. But the beautiful thing is we can continue in faith and hope because we know we will, in His perfect timing, be made whole. Perhaps in this life, perhaps not until the next. But if we have been asking and we have been expressing that faith, we have been returning to the Savior like the one leper did, and we're still not physically, or we haven't been healed like we're waiting for, we can be assured it's because He needs us to learn and grow and progress, just like you did, Jer, through that experience and through those years. Then you take that experience and that knowledge, and you're able to bless someone else, and not just your child in this instant, but you blessed my life. You've blessed countless people's lives through the experience that you gained and the knowledge that you gained in struggling with those hives and everything that came with it.
I love in the scriptures where they're talking about Paul, and he says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And I wouldn't
Yes.
say I want to, take pleasure in it, but it's again, am I going to have happy cancer or am I have yucky cancer?
Right.
And where is my faith? I've been so drawn to the aria, the Lamb of God. In the lyrics of the Lamb of God, it's at the time when Lazarus has died and the Savior has returned and he meets up with Martha and he says, "Do you believe that I am the Christ and that I have the power to do this?" And she says, "I believe that thou art the Christ which should come, the Son of God, but I do not understand. Touch my eyes and bid them see that my gaze might pierce the veil and behold the wondrous scene." And then she goes through, "Touch my ears, touch my heart." And then finally says, "Then touch my lips and bid them sing songs of everlasting praise that my soul might then believe and give thanks through all my days." And she finishes this with, "That every breath I take is by thy tender grace, and thou wilt make me whole." That is repeated, "and that thou wilt make me whole again." And Jerry, you said we all go through things. I've had physical challenges. I've had emotional challenges. I've had spiritual challenges. So here it is. Can I go to the Lord and can he make me whole again?
Yeah, and we know he can.
Yeah,
He
absolutely.
did.
Over
Yeah.
and over and over again.
And sometimes I used to say, "This is for my learning. This is because I need to be punished." No, I'm just kidding.
That's how it feels.
So do we wallow in our self-pity? Some of us just ignore our plight and we say, "Well, this is the lot I've been cast." And we don't really learn the lesson that we could learn from it. And that makes me sad because I'm usually finding myself a lot of times in that.
When you say that, you think about this as gratitude, it's because gratitude is huge in its realm, in its reach, in its application.
Usually.
It's huge. I love this scripture, John 13:12. It's when Christ was anointing the feet of his apostles and or his disciples. I guess they weren't apostles until after he died. So I have to remember that. They were his disciples. And he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" And I think that's a question for all of us, right? A question that could bring great revelation if we sit and ponder that question. Do you understand what I have done for you?
And we're all working on gaining that understanding. I don't think we'll ever completely understand in this life all that he has done for us. But knowing that we can turn to him and that he is there, that his infinite atonement reaches even our griefs and our sorrows, not just our sins, not just our weaknesses, but even our sadnesses. And the grief that we carry for whatever reason, and this wholeness that we've been promised, as even as we wait for the different type of healing, whatever that situation may look like in our life, that wholeness that we can experience, sometimes it can come instantaneously if we ask for it, just like it did for this leper. He was immediately made whole. But other times, I think we have to realize that it can take time to receive that peace, because that's what it means to me, is that even though we're facing a challenge or struggle or trial, and we can still experience peace and joy in Christ and as we are made whole, but that's not instantaneous. The Lord still allows us to feel sorrow and grief at times, but as we continue to return to Him and we look to Him for that peace, for that joy, it will come. We can and will be made whole. And I was thinking about an experience that I had recently with a son who had been living on the streets, and we finally get him back home, and we get him. He finally agrees that he needs to check into a rehab, and we get him there. And after just, a few days, he decides to leave and go back to the streets. And for me, that was heartbreaking, right? Filled my heart with grief and fear, because the adversary was using my loved one's choices to affect me emotionally. And so I made a conscious choice. Okay, I can live in this fear, and worry about, is the next phone call going to be from the police? Have they found him dead? Is he overdosed? Has he been beaten up again? Hospitalized? I mean, numerous horrible things. Or I can go into this place of faith and pray to the Lord, knowing that he can help me right now and through this find some peace. And so I remember Sunday morning waking up and saying, Heavenly Father, please. Please speak to me today. Please help me have the eyes and ears to see and hear the messages from thee. And I was just amazed how I went to church, and one of the speakers, happened to share the quote by President Howard W. Hunter, where he said, "A successful parent is one who has loved, one who has sacrificed, and one who has cared for, taught, and ministered to the needs of a child. If you've done all of these and your child is still wayward or troublesome or worldly, it could well be that you are nevertheless a successful parent." I knew that was the first little piece of the puzzle that brought some peace to my heart. Okay, I know I've loved him unconditionally. I have taught. Okay, it's okay, it's not anything I've done, because I don't know about you, but when your child starts having problems, you ever look to yourself and say, okay, what should I have done differently?
Never, never thought that ever.
It's just, oh my goodness. Anyway, that was just one little piece. And then I get into Relief Society lesson and sitting there, and it was all on loving others, loving them unconditionally. And they shared a scripture, Doctrine and Covenants 68:6, where it said, "Wherefore, be of good cheer and do not fear, for I, the Lord, am with you and will stand by you." And it was just like straight to my heart and soul. The Lord was speaking to me through that lesson. I don't need to fear. He's with me. He's with my son, right? There was another piece that brought another piece of the puzzle that brought a little more peace and joy to my soul. That afternoon, I'm sitting out on the deck and I'm looking through Instagram and my daughter's posts about the temple and covenants and peace, and brought even more direction to me. And another one about loving your child where they're at. It was just like all day long, the Lord was sending me these little messages to let me know He's aware of me, He's aware of my child, He is with me, He is with him, and to just have faith, to not fear, to be of good cheer. That was driven home to me. You're happy cancer or you're sad cancer? Okay, I can be of good cheer.
And so then, as you ponder that scripture, do you understand what I have done for you? Man, you can just write in your journal all day long what the Lord had done for you for that day, right?
Right. And it's carried me for weeks now, through the weeks of oh, I don't even want to go into the details of what I knew he was experiencing and where he was sleeping and living and those kinds of things. But those scriptures, those thoughts carried me through. Now we've got him back into rehab again. He's doing better than ever. But aren't we just so grateful to know that the Lord will see us through these challenges?
Yes.
He will
And
send us
maybe.
that hope. He will send us that peace. It's not going to last forever. You appreciate the joy when it's there, and but you know, challenges, more challenges will come. We're guaranteed. This is a life of opposition, but
It's
so will peace.
our mortal condition.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So, Connie, it says that he may not provide healing from illness and disease, chronic pain you have, autoimmune disorder, cancer, anxiety, depression, and the like. That kind of healing is on the Lord's time. And in the meantime, we can choose to be made whole by exercising faith in him. What, I mean, I watch you, like, you've had a lot recently, like your shoulder, your sciatic, having back surgery, like what is it that has sustained you and helped to make you whole?
I feel as if I wallowed for a while, and then I said, I know I need to repent because I wasn't trusting enough in the Lord. I was wallowing. I kept thinking, why do these things keep happening? Because truly, they just kept happening. And they were very strange ways, whether it's just playing pickleball and really, really having a serious injury that is still plaguing me after I'd already had the back surgery, which I've already had a torn rotator, I've already had a torn hamstring. And you just keep having, not to mention, the emotional stuff. It's just ridiculous. I have an autoimmune disease. It's just all right. It's just weird. So you do have a tendency to wallow. Well, I decided, Connie, you can be sit here and be idle, thinking it hurts, or you can turn to the Lord. And I didn't know how I was going to do that. I wanted to believe that I could be used even in my weakened state. And I had to humble myself. And then I just got busy and decided, okay, I'm going to serve a mission. So I'm serving a service mission. I want to work in the temple. And that has changed my life. That has brought me an awareness that my spirit can be whole, that I have power from my Heavenly Father, from those covenants I've made. I'm also serving. Serving others has just changed me. And I think about the light that we have when we're whole and how you learn so much, Jerry, and you've taught so many people in natural healing. And I know I call you often and say, okay, what essential oil do I need? Sherry, do you have some silver? I need that. What can I do? And then I realize what my limits are and what the Lord can then take over. And sometimes I just need him from the very beginning, and I realize that sometimes I just need to repent and put it on him. And I have a tendency to be really stubborn. I think a lot of us are. Oh, I can't ask the Lord again for help every day, every single morning. Is he tired of my pleadings? And I have learned to trust that he loves me no matter what, and that he will heal my sins, just like he did that man that was taken from the roof down into the room. And the Savior healed him from his sins, forgave him of his sins, and then healed him. I found that very important for me to realize that I need to repent and know that my sins can be forgiven every day, every day. And all of a sudden, there is a strength that comes in everything that I do. And I'm strengthened because that wholeness comes through the Spirit.
Oh, I love that, hon. I
And
love
he
that.
wants to strengthen you every day, right? He doesn't get tired of you turning to him and asking for help and healing and strength every day. He wants to enable us with his priesthood power. Absolutely. That's beautiful. And I think it's normal for all of us to wallow for a bit with our challenges. They're all hard, whether it's physical or mental, or we're being affected by the choices of another. It's normal, but don't you feel like when you can get out of that, why is this happening to me? And instead get into the, what do you want me to learn, Lord? That's when I feel like he then can start working in my heart and mind, bringing in the peace and the strength. Have you guys found that as well with your challenges that?
I again go back to that little girl in the mirror. I am strong. I am brave. And there's been a voice in my mind and head, and Satan has worked so diligently for years to tell me I'm not enough. And in order for me to know I'm enough, I have to repeat in my mind, I can choose to be whole in Christ. And if I can remember that every day and say that every day and work towards my relationship with my Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ, His mercy is enough. I really can ask for His mercy. And that mercy is strength and power. And it's that voice in my head that says, you can't keep asking. You are weak. And that's not really, if I ask, that's strength.
Exactly.
And that's what proves I'm strong, when I can be humble and ask and for the Lord's strength and healing.
And I love that because it as we do that, as we keep returning again and again, and that repenting is returning, right? Returning. I love how you said, like, all of these things that happen to us. How is that me having to repent, right? But it is. It, repentance is a gift. It's a acknowledging that, okay, I'm not being grateful for the body that I do have. Like, I'm not being grateful for the things that I do have. And that oil in my lamp, right? This talk talks about those five wise and the five foolish. What makes you wise? The wisdom is understanding what is in your lamp. What is that fuel? That fuel is every time you turn to him and you gain that testimony and you gain that strength. That's fuel in your lamp. It's not something you can share with anybody else. We can't share our experiences with the Lord. You can share the light that comes from it, right? The light that burns our lamp. We can share that all day long. We can hold that light up and testify of Christ and testify of his goodness and his power and his strength, but we cannot share how we got that light. We can't share the fuel because the fuel is the relationship that we have with God. You know,
Personally.
he turned to those five foolish that wanted in after the door was shut and said, I didn't know you. You didn't know me. We didn't have a relationship. Because what is it you were putting in your lamp? Were you just holding up this I can go to church, I can do the things, I can go to the temple, I can do the things, but where's the relationship? The relationship is the fuel.
I find that very, very fascinating, Jerry, that you said that because, I can go to church. I can, do these things. Just like all 10 lepers, they were at the right place, at the right location. But do we come prepared? And that's the key. I think we emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually need to figure out where am I in the location in my personal life right now? And how can I find myself completely prepared? I think
Yeah.
with it, sometimes I get lazy. Just one day when I choose to know that, hey, it's not a great day. You're not feeling wonderful. You don't have a lot on your schedule, so maybe you can just like pull back. But it never goes quite as well as it does when I remember to stand in that mirror and say, I can be whole. I believe in myself. I believe in the Savior.
Right.
Also, you talked about, you're serving now with Pathway and in the temple. It's also turning outside of ourselves, despite the challenges that we're facing. It'd be so easy to turn inward, but if we'll just turn outward and find ways to serve, that too puts more oil in our lamps. It draws us closer to the Lord if we're doing it out of love for Him.
I testify that's true. I testify to the listeners. I mean, I can ask Jerry, when you come from your service mission meetings, what is your heart and your soul and your spirit like?
Oh,
Yours.
incredible.
And Sherry, as you spend hours with missionaries in your service calling, amazing. As we are mothers and we're giving to our children, and we have those moments where there's little light bulbs going off and we see they get it. Joy. There's such strength that comes from that. I'm never more happy than when I am doing my service mission and when I come out of the temple. And it's like I want to keep doing that. And I know that that's not possible for every hour of our day, but I just need to hold on to that and know those are those moments of wholeness.
Yeah. And it's edifying for sure. And one of the things that I have also tried to teach and testify to our missionaries, because many of them are struggling with some physical illness or mental or emotional challenges. And they often, especially those that started out on teaching missions and have transferred home to a service mission, they feel like a failure. And I have to remind them that we believe in a God of miracles, and the fact that they are still willing to serve full time and they love the Lord and have faith in Him, that if He wanted them completely healed and out there on that teaching mission, that's where they would be. But for whatever reason, He's given them the gift of experiencing both types of missions, and He's allowing them the opportunity to grow through this challenge. And it's just inspirational to watch how they, even though they themselves are being stretched on their own cross, and what the cross that they are carrying is heavy, they are still turning outwards and looking for ways to serve other people. And sometimes they only have the capacity to serve a few hours a week. Others might be putting 50 or 60 hours of service in. Either way, it's acceptable to the Lord. And we have to remember that too, that He is giving us the power and strength to accomplish whatever He needs us to do, whatever mission He has given us. If we are there on our knees and pleading for that help and that strength, we are receiving what we need to accomplish our mission. And it's going to look different for all of us. We can't compare ourselves to each other, but we can have faith to know that we will have the health and strength we need to accomplish what we were sent here to do. In Alma 40:23, I love the reassuring words that come when it reads, "The soul shall be restored to the body, and the body to the soul. Yea, and every limb and joint shall be restored to their proper and perfect frame." I think we can say that we all look forward to that day When we are completely whole, spiritually and physically and emotionally. But until then, we all testify that Jesus Christ lives and he has risen, and he's risen with healing in his wings, and we will all receive that healing in his perfect timing. And in the meantime, we can look to him to be spiritually whole, to find that peace and that strength and joy to get us through until that perfect day.
And so until that perfect day, might you all find strength in the atonement of the Savior and find healing and safety under his wings.